And so I have a lot to say tonight. So praise the Lord. Sometimes I come, I don't have much to say. And you're like, wow, that's amazing for a preacher. That's not one of those days. So if you have your pork roast or whatever on the burner, it might get burned. Or you can leave, either way. Last week, we were in 1 Corinthians. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians today. And then we're going to launch off to foolishness things in the Bible. If you're to, we're going to do 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. When you're there, say there. But while you're turning there, I want to share a story. Some of you were here on Wednesday, and some of you weren't. And some of you were here last Sunday, and some of you weren't, and that's fine. But the thing about it, I talked about foolishness last Sunday, right? And what did I say? I said, don't be foolish for God. How many were you foolish for God this week? Hopefully we all are. Because if you're not foolish for God, you're being too wise in your own self. And that's called pride. Well, I don't want to look foolish in front of people. Pride. Let's call sin as sin. As people would call, they'll say, I don't know if this is a good saying or not. I used to hear it growing up, so it might be outlawed now. Let's call a spade a spade. Especially when you play a card, you know, let's call sin sin, rather than say, oh, you know, that's just a lifestyle. Well, you know, it's their personality trait. Personality traits can be sin. It's not always that way, but it can be. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. Oh, so my story of being foolish, I was at the grocery store picking up some groceries, and my wife does all the shopping online now, and I just pick it up when I'm over there if I'm doing something in Rochester. And so I pulled up, and there was nobody there. And so this person comes out with our goodies, and he comes out, and I looked at him, and all of a sudden a guy goes, pray for that man. I'm like, oh, okay. And I prayed for him, and then he went and started loading. He goes, so where do you pastor at? I'm like, I never told him I was a pastor. I'm like, does my prayer scare people that much? Does my prayer, you know, when we pray, people should know we have a relationship with Jesus, first of all. And so I asked him, I go, what church do you go to? He goes, well, actually, at first I go, where are you from? He goes, well, I'm from West Africa. I go, oh. He goes, well, I was born in America. My mom's from West Africa. I didn't try to figure out. He told me what nation. I don't remember. And he goes, but my dad is Spanish. Well, interesting combination. And so with that, he's loading up. He goes, well, I am a Muslim. And we Muslims share your prayers. Because in their eyes, we serve the same God. In all actuality, we do not. Muhammad is not God. All right? There's only one God, and that's Jesus. That's God the Father. That's Allah. That's not Allah. Okay? Allah is not God. That's a false representation of the true living God. Because he's not about life. He's all about death. The only way they conquer land is through death. There's no other way they conquer. And so, it wasn't the time and place to debate theology. But I'm going to tell you, in man's eyes, they'll say, well, you should be praying for people while they're working. Why not? They're on my dime. They're working for me right now. And so I was able to pray for them. And it was a lot busier. I probably wouldn't have done it. I want to continue to ask you this week, what a foolish thing you can do for Jesus. What is that one foolish thing? Because guess what? You have to put down your pride to be foolish for Jesus. Amen. And the thing about it, we get pride in a lot of different areas. I can have, and then there's nothing to be boasting about what Christ has done in your life. That's not pride. That's boasting what Christ has done. I have a lot of stories on the internet of people saying, I've been touched by the Holy Spirit in this place. And it's nothing I did. I just showed up. I shouldn't even be alive today with things I went through as a kid. The devil should have taken me out while he had a chance. He should have taken out my marriage while I had a chance. And he should have definitely taken out both of my kids while he had a chance. Because he's already a loser, and he lost their control to him. So sometimes you just got to look a little bit foolisher than you already are. Let your wig come off. It's okay. You ever see those American Funniest videos and their wig starts flying off? I'm thinking, you already got hair. Why do you need a wig? I don't know. I'm not a lady. I don't wear a wig. I don't wear a toupee. See, I got bald spot right here. We're good. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that a few of you were wise in the world's eyes of powerful or wealthy when God called you. In other words, you were very wise, very smart with the things of this world. Paul is saying here as he writes, he goes, you were wise in the world's eyes of those powerful and wealthy people. Instead, God chose things of this world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. People think they're wise, but God's about to upend their wisdom. So God is going to upset the world's ways of doing things. The world will say, save. The world will say, do all these cool things. Work out. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath. Let's be honest. I don't believe I'm going to live a great old age. I don't know if I want to live as old as they say they want us to live, like 150. No, thank you. But I want to live my life daily, not to please the world and what the world tells me to do, but please God and what He told me to do. That's going to look foolish. You ever run through this city or walk through this city and start screaming the name of Jesus? I dare you. Especially when kids are waiting for the bus early in the morning. But in their eyes, what is this old man jogging or walking or doing something going down the road yelling? I try to do it when nobody's around. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you just can't help but be excited because there's fire in your bones and you're going to look foolish. You think about it. There's a story of a prophet prophesying to the dead bones. Don't speak over that person. They're gonzo. No, they're not. If they still have breath of life, they're still whole. I've been ministering to the Lord twice a week in the hospital for months. And at first, I had a couple people say, you shouldn't do this. Just let her be. I'm like, but she doesn't know Jesus. You guys know Jesus. You don't need me as much as those who don't know Jesus. See, the thing about it, we want to keep the pastor, us four and no more. Why can't we send the pastor out to minister to the unsaved just like you guys? And so, one of my first prayers when I met her was this, and I don't even remember, she wasn't even conscious at the time. And I go, Jesus, I can't be here. I don't know who can be here, but I ask that you walk into this room and visit her. A month and a half ago, I got a text from her daughter. Did you know that Jesus is showing up in her room talking to her? And every time I go there and she's awake and we have time to talk, I go, how's your conversation with Jesus? She goes, oh, it's great, Pastor. It's great. What if we did go visit her? She'd be there all week long. I want to encourage you, get up there and visit her. She's a nice, she gives me hugs. She thinks I'm nice. I know, Cletus, it's hard to believe. But the thing about it, instead, God will choose the things of this world consider foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise, or pride. And he chooses things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Those, let's get practical. Everybody heard about this Epstein file coming out? Look at all the mess it's causing. Praise God. He'll take what people who are powerful and lower them quicker than you can imagine. And guess what? He'll take the fools. You know, they believe that David, King David, his mama was different than all his brothers' mamas. He was the last born. He was a runt. And the reason why he was out with the sheep, because he might have been a half-breed to them or a half-brother. And so they gave him the crummiest jobs because he wasn't part of the family. He took a man named Joseph who was thrown in jail because he ran away from temptation, and he raised him up. He takes things that are foolish of this world. Did you know that he'll take the last born and he'll do something great in him? He'll take a murderer and make him king. He'll take Paul, who was a murderer, who said Christians should die, and turn around and take him out and say, "You know something, Saul? Get off your high horse. I'm knocking you down. And I'm going to use you to write over half of the New Testament to encourage others." He takes those who were in jail and set them free. He takes those who were wrapped up in bondage with pornography and drugs and alcohol and all that garbage, and he sets them free. Why? Because he's taking what was, the world says is useless garbage, and he goes, "I can do something with that," because they rely on me more than their knowledge than anything else. They will look foolish for me, because how many people have you seen drunk look foolish? I've seen a lot of drunk, foolish people. Guess what? They don't care. Getting up on date tables and dance. Hit on a woman that's not their own. Get in a fight that's not their own, that they should not be a part of. See, there's things that Paul says stay away from. There's a reason why. It's okay to walk away from a fight. And it's okay to fight. And today is one of those good days. All right, and he chose the things that are powerless and shameful. The cross was shameful. Jesus dying on the cross was shameful. Getting put up on the cross was shameful. Nobody in their right mind would ever want to die that way, but Jesus, before the foundation of the world was set, he goes, "I'm going to die the most cruel, inhumane way," and the most. And you think about it, they gambled for his clothing. You know what I'm going to do with my clothing when I die? Give it to Goodwill. If they have any sense, and you don't have to gamble with my clothes, it's not that expensive. Well, you're looking pretty dapper. I got them from Goodwill. That's where they'll probably go back. But God takes it, but he makes it powerful. There's something about Jesus dying on the cross that's more powerful. The God who rose from the dead resides in you. Think about it. You as a believer, the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is inside of you. So don't back down when God tells you to do something. Because God will tell you once, and he expects you to obey as a believer. Because remember, we talked about that we join up with him to do great mighty things. And you might look foolish. You ever pray for somebody and they didn't get healed? Oh yeah. You ever pray for somebody that some great things would happen in their life and never happened? Oh yeah. Have you ever prayed for somebody and they're looking at you like, "You don't know what you're talking about"? Oh yeah. But guess what? I'd rather look foolish for God than try to please what man asked me to do. And guess what? God, how many of you remember this song? I'm all over the place, but we'll get where we need to get to. Redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. How many of you are redeemed today? Because you know what redemption means? He takes what was discarded and he makes it brand new. He doesn't recycle you. I'm not a recycled piece of garbage. That's what the devil will lie to you about. Well, he's just going to recycle you. No, he takes what was dead and made it alive. He redeems it. He takes what was lost and he redeems it. Think about it. If we're redeemed, man, we should be the most excited, happiest, go-lucky people in God's center. But sometimes we walk in, those devils after me again. Kick him to where it hurts! In the kneecaps! It really hurts there, trust me. Bop him in the eye! Don't take his garbage! Because there's more power in the Holy Spirit than he will ever have. He's not God's foe. He's a defeated foe. And we're walking around as we're the defeated foe. No, we're not. I'm not defeated. You guys can walk around and say, well, I guess I'm defeated. Nothing of my life. I don't care. But I'm going to claim that I have more power, more victory, more anointing, more everything that the devil can even think about tackling. I woke up in the honoring room. I went to bed wound up. But I'm telling you right now, you don't have to walk around and say, well, nothing's in this pocket. Lifesaver's in this pocket. I have nothing going for me. Yeah, you do. As a child of God, as a redeemed person, you got the Holy Spirit in you, and you are more than victorious. You're more than a conqueror. You don't have to walk around like, guess what? The Lord is in charge. If he's in charge, let's charge. Blow that trumpet and let's go. So God chose the things despised by the world. Things counted as nothing at all. Use them to bring nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. I cannot boast about the presence of God. I haven't. If God shows up, it's his choice. But I'm going to do things to make sure he's invited. I cannot help anybody. But guess what? I'm going to do my best to allow the one who does heal to heal. So many times we either think it's all us or all God. But did you know you have to cooperate with God to allow him to walk in your life? So if you say, well, I'm a believer, but yet you still listen to garbage and watch garbage that fill your body and your mind up with garbage of old thoughts. That'd be like me exercising, not eating healthy. What a waste to exercise. I got better things to do than run 3 miles at a time right now and hitting weights. But guess what? I have a 30-mile run I'm going to hit. So I'm setting things apart. Just like as a believer, you got to set things apart to allow the Holy Spirit to move. If we do not do our part, but the thing about, you know what? There's a prayer that God never answers. You know what prayer that is? The one you never pray. If you don't pray, God doesn't answer. I'm not here 100%, but I'm stepping up to that batter box every time when the pitcher's ready. You know, you ever see a batter first time at bat? Guess what? Then you get somebody who's been up there 100 times. They're going to be more efficient than the person who's never batted before. Anybody ever see like a 2-year-old with a bat? They're kind of clumsy, aren't they? Even with a wiffle bat, they're still kind of clumsy. But by 7 years old, he's still wooden or aluminum bat and know how to hit if he's trained right. You only get better by doing what God's called you to do. I'm not this good looking just because I woke up this way. It took me 50 plus years to look this good. One time I was a lot cuter, but that's when I was this small. But the thing about it is that he goes on, he goes, God has unified you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as Scripture says, if you want to boast, boast about the Lord. I can boast about the Lord all day long, but I don't want to boast about what I've done. I guarantee you God's done something in all your guys' life in the last 5 years. Guarantee it. I guarantee it. Because if he didn't, you wouldn't be here right now. If he did, you wouldn't. Some of you are like, man, it was tough to get out of bed this morning. Now, some days it's tough. But I guarantee you, when you say, I want to boast in the Lord because what he's doing, woo! Come on, let's bring that train along. Let's hop on that train. Let's see what God has. But the thing about it, he wants us to join up with him. He wants us to partner with him. When we partner with him, he gets the glory. I don't get any of the glory. I don't want your glory. I don't want, you know something? I really don't need your pat on the back. Good job, Pastor. Because I'm not here to please you anyways. If you think I need to hear that because, well, the crowd's down and stuff, I really don't. I do care if people come or not. But guess what? I'm going to preach the same way if there's 100 people here or if there's 10 people here. Because I'm not here to please. My audience is in heaven. And that's who I hear. I'm here to please. And so the thing about it is that when we focus onto that, when we focus onto pleasing Jesus, we'll start becoming foolish for him. There's a parable Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 12. I'm going to be going through a lot of different scriptures right now. Luke chapter 12, there's a parable Jesus talks about, verse 13. You guys can write down the references, look back at them later, become a Bible scholar, all those cool things. Luke 12, 13 states this. Then someone from the crowd yells, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." He doesn't say if his brother's older or younger, but back in that culture, the estate would fall on the oldest brother's life. It's just the way it was. The father would have it, the inheritance would go to the oldest brother. And this guy, I've done enough funerals. I've done enough after funeral issues. This is not just the only time it happened. Every time when someone passes away, not every time, but quite often, what will happen? Everybody's getting along great. Everybody's mourning the grieving of mom or dad or aunts, whoever, or uncle, whoever. Their bodies in the ground or wherever. And now you have to go through their possessions. Now you have to figure out who owns the house. Now you have to figure out who gets is the inheritance. I've seen it turn ugly within 2 days of the person being buried. Because they're wrapped up, and we'll talk about it here this moment. It gets wrapped up. It's like, what can I get out of this? And I'm telling you, if you don't have things in order, even if you do, trust me, your family will still fight over your stuff. That's the reason I take my stuff to Goodwill and let them fight over it. I've walked through it with my family. I've walked through it with other families. And so the thing about it, here's a gentleman crying out.
saying, this is Jesus' reply. Friend, who made me judge over you to decide things as that? In other words, Jesus is like, that's worldly stuff, and I'm not concerned about it. I'm not concerned about that stuff. And then he goes, then Jesus said, be aware, guard against every kind of greed. So, you think about it, greed, it just doesn't come one way. It says every kind of greed. You know another word that greed is for? Be careful of what you envy. If you want something that somebody else has, that's called greed, or in the top 10 list, it's called envy. Don't be envious of your family. Don't be so the thing about it, don't be greedy. Greed comes in so many different ways. It's a sin. Jesus has pointed out. Look at the heart. This gentleman, yeah, he might have been done wrong. His brother's probably supposed to divide things for him. But Jesus goes, you know something? They have an issue, but you also have an issue.
We'll talk about foolishness here in this story here in a moment. Because Jesus continues, he goes, life is not measured by how much you own. Think about it. Life is not measured by what you own. I want to throw out a statement before we continue this story. I want to see if you agree with me or not. If you don't, you're going to hate this message, the rest of this message. If you do, you still might hate it. Here's the statement. Everything I have belongs to God because He gave me everything I have. My jacket, my clothes are not mine.
Everything.
There's only one thing that God does not own that you have. Does anybody know what, outside of my family, I might have told them. Does anybody know what it is?
No.
Sacrifice of praise to God. He will never demand you to sacrifice a praise to Him. Everything else. He doesn't own your worship to Him. You have your free will to worship Him or not. That's the only thing that you own that you can give Him. And it's called a sacrifice. In the book of Psalms, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about bringing a sacrifice of praise. It doesn't talk about bringing a sacrifice of clothes because you don't own them. You cannot sacrifice something you do not own. I don't own anything. My house is God's. If God would tell me to sell my house tomorrow, I would have to obey. Where do you live, Pastor? I don't know. We have a tent. A four-person tent.
Better go south then.
But God tells us to expand our gardens, not just for us. See, the thing about it, we get wrapped up. Look at my, when I was younger, we lived out in Michigan, we'd drive down these nice houses. I'm like, man, maybe someday I'll have a nice house. I got older and I got wiser in Christ. That's more work to take care of. Taxes are higher. The utilities are higher. The maintenance is higher. I like my little house. I'm ready to downsize now, but my two kids are still living with us. They're not ready to share rooms. What do you think, Aurora?
No.
Okay. They like a lower room. But the thing about it is that my automobiles, if they, God bless me with them, I do my best to take care of them. If they break down, He gets to afford them. They're not my issues. My kids, they're not my kids. They're God's. Which I'm thankful for. My wife, she's just on loan to me until we get separated forever until heaven bound.
until one of us dies. She chooses how long to be. And the way I treat her shows how much I love Jesus. And the way she treats me shows how much she loves Jesus. The way I treat, I treat her the best I know how. I treat my kids the best I know how. Do I mess up? Yeah. Because I'm only a good earthly father. I'm not a good heavenly father. And so with that statement, since I think everybody would agree with that statement, everything we own belongs to God because God gave us everything. Even the breath we breathe, even the air, breathe in, breathe out. Even the ability to walk, talk, whatever, it's God. Your words you speak should be glorifying to God. The thoughts that pop in your head, if they're not of God, get rid of them. You don't have enough hair to build a nest anyways. Just get rid of it. You don't need those birds up there. Now if they're come to give you positive things, even about yourself. The Word of God says, think about things that are lovely, noble, true. And do you do that about yourself? Do you really do that about yourself? Or do you think like, man, I'll never amount to anything? Well, when you think like that, you're going to end up like that. But when you think on, that's what you choose. All right, we got to get through this. Then Jesus tells them a story. How many of you love a good story? I absolutely love a good story. This is a story they did not like. You ever hear a story that was a good story, but you didn't like it? Well, this might be one of them. So Jesus tells us, a rich man had a fertile farm. In other words, it produced a lot of good crops. It was cool. Verse 17, he said to himself, this farmer said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. I have all these crops. And back then, they didn't have a way to preserve crops like we do today. So think about that for a moment. Everything. I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I know what I'll do. I got this cool idea. You ever have a cool... See, there's a difference between having a cool idea, a God idea, well, a cool idea, a good idea, an excellent idea, and a God idea. There's a big difference between those. But you can have... You can have a seat. Come on in. I'm just yelling, so it's all good. But the thing about it, you can have a cool idea. How many of you have had a cool idea? I had several cool ideas. But they weren't of God. How many of you had a good idea? No, okay. How many of you had an excellent idea? Like, woohoo, this is good. It's good to have good, excellent. But what's best is a God idea. See, these other three will leave God out of the equation. But when you have a God idea that is great and powerful, you're going to look foolish. This guy looks wise. Wow, I got all this crop. I'm going to save it. Yes, look at me. I'm going to build another barn. I'm going to build something bigger. Then he said, I know, I'll tear the... He's not just going to add on. He's going to tear the one that he already has. I want to tear it down and build bigger ones. I'll tear down my barns. That means he already has more than one. And I want to build bigger ones. That means one's usually singular, but this is with an S. That means it's plural. That means he's going to build more. Bigger doesn't mean always better. And smaller doesn't always mean better. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. I'll have room for all my luxury automobiles. I've room for all this stuff I have.
Then I'll have room enough for all my garbage. Did you know
storage sheds? You make a lot of money on that because people have a lot of stuff they don't need and they just figure out, we'll just put it in a storage shed and we'll just pay whatever. I know the church has one, just we have a few things that are in storage still. But the thing about it, most of the time if we would just go through our house and get rid of stuff, you wouldn't need a storage shed. I mean, there's a difference between transition and stuff like that. I get all that.
If anybody wants a piano, I have one you can have. Let me know. We would love to bless you with one. It's a great piano. It still gets in tune when you didn't tune it and all that. So you can have a bigger barn for that piano. Verse 19, it goes, I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and marry. In other words, you have enough. Just sit back and enjoy life. Grab your local Mountain Dew. Grab your fishing pole. Grab your boat and go to your nearest water. This guy is still working age. You think about it. This is his crop. What happens to fresh produce or wheat or whatever if it sits around for a while? It spoils. It gets nasty. And so in other words, if we let our investment sit around, it just grows nasty. You ever touch, you bought some vegetables that you forgot about and you put your finger in it? It's kind of nasty. Or some cheese that's regrowing. And you have to cut it off and say, oh Lord, protect me. You don't eat the fuzzy stuff. But what he's saying to himself, he's looking wise. I got a bigger barn. I got this food. I got this. I don't have to work for the next 5 years. Yes, I got it made. But this is what Jesus says. But God said to him, you fool. Don't call. God called him a fool. Jesus says, you fool. You will die this very night. May he who will get everything you work for. Then who will get it? You can have all the money in the bank and die today. Who's going to get your money? Well, it's in the will. It's for, they're going to fight. We're people of the world, even in the church, we're greedy people and we want our fair share or whatever. Not once did God ever say, hoard for the future. But hoard, if you're going to save, it's for the future to bless other people. People love to use in the Bible it talks about how Joseph told Pharaoh there's going to be a famine and after 7 years. I get that. I understand that. But you know why he saved for the 7 years? For the 7 years when there was famine. It wasn't for them building it up for their own self. It was to bless those who need help in 7 years. Well, what about the dude that hopped on the boat with all those animals and stuff? God told him to prepare. Yes, we should prepare for the natural. But sometimes you can over-prepare for the natural and you miss out on blessing God's people or other people. Well, you know, I got my shelf life, my 25-year shelf life of frozen food that I just have to add water and it tastes yummy, yummy in my tummy. That's good. You can have 10 years worth of that. But is it just for you or are you going to bless other people along the way? See, we get so wrapped up. And I have nothing against Dave Ramsey and the way he does things. But when we are more concerned about saving for today or for tomorrow than we are about blessing other people, we've missed the boat. I can honestly tell you, if I did not give, I would not survive. I fasted for 25 days, At the end, and in the book of Isaiah, it says, when you fast, you know what you do with the food that you do not eat? You give away. You ever done that? That's kind of stupid. We did. Guess what? There's still food in the cupboard. I don't need as much, so I don't need as much. But the thing about when you give away, God can't help but bless. But when you hoard, God can't bless hoarders. Because you have an attraction and a connection to whatever you're hoarding, and that's where your treasures are. Even Jesus says that. He goes, if you die, and you're going to die, who's going to get everything you work for? If someone wants to receive my retirement plan, my kids don't get anything. Because they don't expect me to retire, so that's my retirement plan. Because once I stop traveling and preaching, I'm going to go off with them and travel and preach with them. They just don't know that. Now they do. I support them for 18 plus years. They can support me for 18 plus years. But who gets it? You don't take anything to heaven. Guess what? You go naked. There's a lot of naked people in heaven. But the thing about it, our thoughts are not on that. We'd be on Jesus. But there are some with white robes according to Revelation, so we're good. If you want a red robe, go through tribulation and die during the tribulation. That's how you get a white robe. I think I'll pass. But he goes, yes, verse 21 says, yes, a person is a fool who store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Foolish. The world says, those who have big toys, the biggest toys win, right? Or the most toys in the garage. Or man, you live in Minnesota, you have to have a boat. Or you have to have this. Guess what? If I had a boat, it would not be good for me. I'd be wanting to get out there. We would probably have revival services on Sunday nights. Especially a pontoon boat. Then, with a pontoon boat, you have to get lakeside property. Then if you have lakeside property, you need a cabin, and you can't just sleep in a tent. And I'm not bashing those who have a boat. I'm just saying, if that's where our connection... See, the thing about it, where you lay your treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. When you lay your treasure into this or into that, that's where your heart's going to be. Why do you think people get all caught up in sports? Because they lay their treasure hoping they can live vicariously through a sports figure. Like, hey, my football team won the Super Bowl. So next year they have to win again if they want to keep their coach. Every coach is one bad or two bad seasons from getting fired. Every coach is just an interim coach. Every preacher, every pastor is just an interim pastor. Some say longer than you want. Some say shorter than you want. But everything's temporary. And so the thing about Jesus talks about all this. But the greatest thing, it's not talking about tithe. He's not talking about that. You know what excites Jesus? Let's see if I can find it real quick. I believe I know it, where it's at. Well, this is part of Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. States that, oh, I know where it is. He goes, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continued sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. There's things that please God.
And hoarding is not one of the top three. Guess what? Sacrifice of praise and giving and helping out the poor. You know, in the book of James, there's a true religion. You know what the true religion is? It's helping out widows and orphans. You think about it. That's just the true religion. And Jesus, here, the writer of Hebrews, is saying, keep doing good. Keep going after Jesus. But give and help out people because they're in need.
And then in 2 Corinthians, that's where I want to go to. We'll hit this more in depth when we go through 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, starting it, he goes, now, this is Paul writing, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. This is what, see, the thing about it, Paul's right here. This is what the good things that we, that the churches here can do. He goes on, he goes, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Paul's saying they're poor, but yet he's saying they're happy because they give generously. They say the poorer the person is, the more they give. Did you know that according to God's times table? 1 times 1 is 1, 2 times 2 is 4. He has what? The tithe, which is 10%. No matter how much you make, it's always 10%. No matter if you make $100 a week, it's $10. Isn't it easy to give away $10 when you're only making $100? Then if you're making $1 million to give away 10%, I guarantee you it is. Because there's times when I'm like, Lord, that's a lot of money. I mean, we don't make that a lot, but people bless us along the way. I'm like, Lord, I could use that to help pay off my son's tuition. But the Lord goes, give it away. I don't have much, but guess what? I get these. You know, he said, I love a cheerful giver. We should be the most excited. When somebody comes with a need, we should be so excited. I get to be a part of something. I get to be a part of what God's doing. He goes, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford. Well, it's easy to, oh, I got $10, I can afford that today. They didn't just give what they could afford. There's times I look at our budget and our offering budget. We put money in there each month. For years, it's been in the red. And if you're doing finances, red is not good. But every month my bills are paid. And over above what we need. Every month. I don't know how God does it. But I'm saying, Paul's saying here, for I testify they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it out of their own free will. They did it because they wanted to. Well, Pastor, this is a strong arm message. No, you have to give out of your own free will. If you give reluctantly with a bad attitude, I want to say this, and I mean this as friendly, as kind, as nice as I can say it, keep your money. Because there's an attachment to that money, and when there's attachment to money, now you think you can control what the church does. Or what that ministry does. When you give it to a ministry, like when we planted the church over in Africa, I didn't put any stipulation on them. I go, do what you need to do. I put one stipulation, I was talking to Herbie, and Herbie will confirm this. I put two stipulations on it. One, he fired back and said, we can't do that. Because I said, I don't want any recognition or the church any recognition. He goes, sorry, Pastor, our culture, we recognize people. Okay, I get that. But what the second one was, when they start growing food on that property, what do you do with the first fruits?
Give it away.
Yep, they have to. It's mandatory. It'll be written in our agreement that they have to give away the first fruits. Not the first year, not the second year, not the third year, but every continuous year. But Pastor, they don't have much. But how? It says they were poor and they still gave away. How else is God going to... What's the saying? The more you sow... Right. We are in the process of planting our garden. I want to expand my garden. not just for self, not to keep my son busy with weeding. But you know why? So I can bless more people. Well, you know, every year we've given away first fruits. All the time. And there's times when people's garden, their tomato plants are like, or their cucumber plants are like,
but guess what? Ours, even in the drought, even in the wet season, our plants have always done well. There's been times we start canning in July. Green beans. This is what God does. We start canning green beans in July. And we're still canning in October. We're canning different things. And there's food that will last us in our basement all winter long. They help supplement what God does. And can you imagine, and many of you have been blessed because we brought some canned goods or our first fruits to the church. Because there's a principle about sowing.
But there's been many times where we said, well, we can't afford to sow. They were poor. And it says here, they did it out of their own free will. For I can testify, they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. You have to give. When it comes to things, we get to give. Not what we can afford, but everything else. They begged us again and again. Because this is, you think about it, they're poor and they're begging Paul. Can we keep giving?
Can how foolish! You can't even afford a turkey on Thanksgiving, and you want to give to the homeless who doesn't have a thing? That's foolish!
Yep.
Because they're begging. They beg us again and again for a privilege of sharing the gifts. They gave even more than we hoped for.
Then, 9, chapter 9 goes, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches of Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many in Macedonia believers and began giving. Think about that. Then verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much you to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all your need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and gave generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. And it goes, for God is the one who provides the seeds. God provides the seeds to give. I'm not going to take up another offering. You know, I told the leadership team, I go, we probably have enough in the bank. We wouldn't have to take up an offering for the next 2 years. All of our bills would be paid for. And one of them goes, don't tell the church that people stop giving. Well, I just told you, you better not stop giving, because I want to prove them wrong or her wrong. We get so wrapped up over the foolish things of this world. People are willing to spend thousands of dollars to go watch a football team lose 8 of their football games. They're willing to look foolish for a football team that cheers skull, which means a dead man's head. You think about it, that's where it comes from. You ever look it up? Skull. Hey, we're chanting for a brain-holding body part. Like, well, that's just kind of morbid. And they're willing to dress up in purple, paint their face yellow, and all that stuff.
They're willing to go to when a football game is negative 15 degrees out and wind chills below zero, way below, and they're willing to get whatever. They're standing out there and willing to be frostbitten over a pigskin. You think about it. This game started with using an intestine of a pig. And we get all wrapped up, the pastors preaching about finances or giving or things like that. Treasures. My treasure is at the altar. My treasure is worshiping Jesus. Next week you'll have somebody who's a lot calmer. Someone more seasoned. A great man of God. Everybody here loves Dan Johnson. He's such a great man of God. I love him. He's such, I'm so glad he can come in and, you know, he's totally different than I am, which I thank God for. You guys need a break. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to open the altars for prayer. And in about 5 minutes after prayer, I'm going to show some pictures that was sent to me about some property that we have a chance to buy down in Haiti. Herbie will be here to help me guide through them. And why are we doing this? Yeah, if we get a chance, we get a chance. Because why? Because there's a need. And I love, well, Pastor, it's not your money. No, it's not my church. It's God's church. It's God's money.
By the way, this is my friend Dave. And then after this church, this is another one who believes in my dream.
Awesome. Yes. So we're going to pray. And the altar is open for prayer or anything. And if you need to doodle, it's fine. I'm fine with that. My feelings aren't hurt. If you never show up again, guess what? My feelings still won't be hurt because I love Jesus too much. So let's pray.
Father, we thank you that we can be foolish for you. And Lord, I thank you that we can come back tonight and get more blessed by hearing from your word.